If you'd like to open your Bibles and turn to Philippians 2, we're going to read a couple of verses there, if that works for you guys. For those of you who I haven't had the pleasure of meeting, I'm Ryan Sanders. I'm one of the believers who lives here and, I guess, more or less is from Atlanta. So this is, as I'm sure Will and Lynn Grove can probably attest to, is a bit of a dream come true every time I get to see this many believers in Atlanta. So my prayers are getting answered. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians is a reproof epistle, but don't worry, I didn't have you guys come here to reprove you this morning. But what's awesome about the word is that we can learn from it, and we can take away things even in reproof for our lives. And so while the Philippians needed a little attention, we can thankfully apply from what they were told. And in Philippians, we can learn about reproof on the mystery specifically. So this is kind of a neat topic. And we'll just read in verse 1 of chapter 2 in Philippians. It says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." And this is all we're going to read this morning. We're going to keep going, but this is the only two verses we're going to focus on, because it's just a really sweet way to think about the mystery and the family and fellowship with each other. And we'll go through this a little bit. So, neat thing happened last night. I told Dean after the fellowship was, wasn't really sure where to jump in with this teaching right away, and he covered Philippians 1 and 27 through 30, which sets the context here, because you see, therefore, in verse 1 of chapter 2, this sets in application what was previously mentioned in verses 27 through 30, and we're to contend together as a family. We're to conduct ourselves as citizens worthy of the gospel. And now we get into Philippians 2, coming out of that first chapter, and consolation here is encouragement. We're to have encouragement in Christ. We're united with him. The victory has been won. There's no condemnation. I mean, when we wake up in the morning, what a great way to think about our lives, right? We are united with Christ. We have the hope to look forward to every day. Hasn't happened yet, Michael, but it's going to happen. You know, there's no more law. Thank goodness, because as I've told Elise many times, I would not have survived very long. But when you think about this, think about God and Christ saying, come on in, sit on down. You're in the house now. We're no more foreigners and strangers, right? As it says in Ephesians, we're part of the household. And we have encouragement in Christ. We're called near. We're entreated to come in. This comfort of love. This is solace. This root word here is to speak near to somebody, a soothing, kindly, to speak tenderly to one another. This is used when Lazarus died. Mary and Martha, the Jews spoke in the same form to Mary and Martha. They comforted. I've seen some comforting done very poorly before in the world, where maybe somebody passed away and they're like, sorry for your loss. Like, it's very cold, it's very antiseptic. This is not that, right? This comfort of love is the love of God. This is to comfort people who are feeble-minded, people who are faint-hearted. You know, when the world beats us up and spits us out, this is how we are to treat each other. We are to love with the love of God, to speak tenderly, to comfort. This fellowship is the participation. It's a communion. It's sharing, and it's part of a relationship. And one thing I thought about here was sharing takes effort. Sharing is not automatic. You have to choose to do it. Some of us more than others, speaking personally. And all of these statements in the first verse are rhetorical, right? These are all true statements. So it's meant to call our attention to it. It's meant for us to pay attention. And the Spirit, obviously referring to the gift of Holy Spirit from God to people on or since Pentecost, which would be all of you wonderful believers today. So it's appropriate for us. We can learn from this. Bowels here, not a word that we commonly use every day. But it's an idiom for that kind of like innermost part of your body, where you feel it. You know, you feel your emotions. And, you know, specifically used here is compassions and feelings. And when you see bowels and mercies used together in a number of places in the word, it's another figure of speech. So these two verses are just littered with purposeful figures of speech for God to call our attention here and call this stuff out for us. And you can understand this to mean merciful emotions or merciful tenderness. Again, the context is the mystery. The context is unity in the body, right? You know, we don't hold judgment on someone. We have great tenderness in our soul, right? It should be a relief. It should be kind of like a letting go. And think about that on both sides of the relationship. What a sweet thing it is to get tenderness in a situation when you're expecting something else, right? How joyful and how pacifying that is to your heart and to your life. You know, now we've had verse 1, right? A bunch of rhetorical statements, and God kind of brings it home with a slam dunk in verse 2, which I think is really cool. It says, I'll read the verse again, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." A couple things we see here, a little repetition of theme, like, same, one, and one, again, more figures of speech calling our attention. What a cool way to just help our minds wake up this morning and think about the word. I thought it was a nice way. Like-minded, we were to think the same thing. We were to put on the same thoughts, which are of what? The word. Exactly right. Yeah, absolutely. It's not because we all use the same Google. It's not because we all use the same iPhone or went to the same high academic school or education. We do have a high academic education, but it's this truth. It's not that of philosophy or some old gray professor who stodgy and I don't know. I think about old professors when I think about the education of the world. That's not that. This is not my opinion or yours. It's God's. And that's what we're to think. We're to be like-minded on the word. The same love here. This is the love of God, the agape, right? And I read a really cool definition of this, and I thought I would share. I'm going to read it twice because I think it's just awesome. Agape is the commitment of the will to do and obey the word, the standard that we are like-minded on. In spite of personal feelings, it is the unalterable allegiance of your mind to God and his word. The unalterable allegiance of your mind to God and his word. I think about like unalterable. I think it's just like you can't be moved, you can't be pushed off, you can't be pulled off, you can't be convinced of anything else. I'm unalterable on God's word. Again, the context is the mystery, right? And that's that love of God. We are unalterable on the love of God. So it's never a bad time. It's never inappropriate to put on the love of God and do it. And then one accord. That's our souls together. We are one-souled. I think about some of you here that I feel very one-souled and have a privilege of fellowshipping with. I love you guys very much. It's sweet to be part of this family. You know, it's used to refer to harmony of life, united in thinking. United in thinking. Well, we're not united in thinking on the Yankees or the Braves, who may or may not break my heart again this year. But we are united on thinking God's word. And we are in lockstep with one another. And what a tremendous place here to be in lockstep with each other, right? You get to refresh each other. We get to give each other the word. You get to pray for each other. You know, this is the place that we get refreshed. And then we get to kind of build each other back up on top of the... Were you talking about the mountaintop? We're on top of the mountaintop. So get refreshed. Get what you need. You know, and look for those needs and look for what God's will is here today. You know, that's the big deal here is God's will gets done. And then lastly, one mind. It's one understanding. It's thinking as one, again, on God's word. And it's a tremendous privilege to be part of a fellowship like this, to be part of the body. But it's even better to be part of God's household. and part of this mystery. I'm going to finish by reading the literals here, because it puts it a little more plain English for us. It says, verse 1, therefore, if there is any encouragement in fellowship with Christ, if there is any quieting comfort of the heart in love, if there is any spiritual fellowship, if there is any merciful tenderness, then make my joy completely full by thinking the same thoughts, by having the same love, by having your souls joined together, by thinking unity. Now it's just up to us to do it. Like-minded, same love, one accord, one mind. So I'm going to pray to close. God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for just the joy and privilege it is to hear from you, to be able to read your word freely. I thank you for each and every person here today for helping us just to receive your word with meekness, with great tenderness and eagerness to apply it to our lives, to see your power. And thanks, Father, for working within each one of us to willing to do of your good pleasure so that we can see your will come to pass. And I thank you for a sweet morning. I thank you for everyone who's still waking up and just helping them to be ready today. And thanks for just loving us each and every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.